the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
You can meet and hear our previous guest, Molly Hemingway, and our next guest, Dr. Jennifer O'Bagmorse, at the Winter 2017 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Registration for the conference is $120 and includes three meals. You can find out more about our winter conference and our summer Making the Case conference, June 9th and 10th in Collinsville, Illinois, at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Making the Case conferences. The number one test of a valid worldview, a good worldview, whatever it may be, is does this worldview correspond with reality? Does it correspond with the way things actually are? If it doesn't pass that first and most important test, it is not going to hold up in any other respect, and all the other criteria for a worldview fall apart at that point. What about the worldviews of the lifestyle left, including moral relativism and the whole worldview that we call the sexual revolution? Joining us to talk about the fantasy ideologies of the lifestyle left, Dr. Jennifer O'Bagmorse. She's founder and president of the Ruth Institute. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities. She's senior research fellow in economics for the Acton Institute and author of several books, including her latest, The Sexual Revolution and Its Victims, and a recent column titled The Upper Class is Communist. Jennifer, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Todd, thanks for having me on.
When you use the word fantasy, some people might say, look, wrong-headed, ill-conceived, but fantasy? That seems a bit strong. Make your case.
Well, I think we've been beset by ideologies in the 20th and now the 21st centuries. We have ideologies that are taking the place of religion for some people, but they're not grounded in reality. But they're trying to use this fantasy in their mind that they've created or that they've borrowed from someone else to do the things that religion ought to do, which is give meaning to your life, tell you who you are, why you're here, what you're supposed to do. What does salvation look like, you know? Marxism is an example of a fantasy ideology. The fact that it doesn't work in practice does not stop people from being attracted to it, you know, just to take one example. So that's why I call it a fantasy, because the person is not amenable to reason and evidence to change their point of view. They think it's important. They think it's a moral imperative to bring into being this fantasy that they've created in their mind. And that's what's so dangerous about it.
So we're talking here about, you use the term upper class, and I think maybe the term elites might go along with that, because upper class might imply pure kind of economic
theft.
But we're really talking about a mindset that does affect people regardless of their socioeconomic standing, although it seems to follow a pattern, doesn't it?
Well, yes. The reason I wrote that little column that you're referring to is that I was reading a book called Witness by Whitaker Chambers, which is about his experience testifying before the House Un-American Activities Committee back in the 40s and 50s about communist activity in the government. And so Whitaker Chambers is the person who said that he personally knew such people, and including Alger Hiss, for example. That was the most famous person at that time. And it's an article of faith among the left that Alger Hiss was innocent and that he was framed and that Whitaker Chambers was making all of this up, in spite of the fact that he knew detailed bits of information that he couldn't have known unless he was telling the truth. But in any case, in at one point in the book, he's talking to some people who are sympathetic with him, and one of them says, you know, gee, why is it that the rich people and all the best people, all the high society people, all are in favor of Alger Hiss. You would think, according to Marxist class analysis, all those rich people should be in favor of you, and they should be against Alger Hiss. And this man from Eastern Europe chimed in and said, no, you don't understand. You don't understand. The working class, the poor, are Democrats. And this is the language he used. The poor are Democrats. The middle class are Republicans. And the upper class are communists. And so I'm thinking in my mind, well, we've just changed it. We've just moved the classes around a little bit. Now we would say the poor and the working class are the poor, the actual out and out poor are Democrats, and the working class are the Republicans today. And anybody who's an elite of any kind, you're exactly right, Todd. Anybody who's an elite of any kind, whether it's financially or culturally or socially, the elites are all purveyors of the fantasy ideology of the day, whatever it is, you know, whether it's multiculturalism, whether it's moral relativism, or whether it's the sexual revolution, or still communism. Communism is making a comeback in some of these circles. And that's the pattern that jumped out at me when I read that fact.
Before we get into the particulars of those three that you mentioned, moral relativism, multiculturalism, and the sexual revolution, you say we need to realize that all these ideologies are totalitarian. What do you mean by that?
Well, they're totalitarian ideologies in this particular way because they're fantasies, and they're fantasies that people are holding with deep moral conviction. They believe, in each case, people believe that they have a moral obligation to bring about a condition in the world that cannot be done. Okay, so you cannot create a prosperous society without any property rights. That's what the communists wanted to do. You cannot create a happy, prosperous, comfortable society where you go around with the idea that sex doesn't actually make babies or that children don't need their parents. You know, and that's what the sexual revolutionaries are trying to do. So they're trying to do something that's impossible, but the fact that it's impossible does not stop them whatsoever. It just means they have to crank up their use of force and they have to crank up their propaganda that they spread around to make it seem plausible. Because they're more committed to this than the average Christian is committed to the doctrine of the Trinity. And so they're going full tilt trying to create something that cannot be. And that's why they become totalitarian ideologies, Todd.
Well, the grandfather of them all is moral relativism.
I agree. Yeah, I think that's right.
Describe it to us and tell us why it is one of these fantasy ideologies.
Well, see, the idea of moral relativism is that there's no such thing as truth, and there's no such thing as right or wrong, and there's no such thing as good and bad. Well, as soon as you say there's no such thing as truth, you're entangled in a logical contradiction because you're making a truth claim, right? You're making a truth claim that there's no such thing as truth. So once you wipe out truth, and once you wipe out the ability to actually do moral reasoning, And so instead of moral reasoning governing your actions, now what you have is just simply force and power and whoever's strongest. That's what becomes good. So, you know, we now believe that scientific truth is whatever the National Science Foundation says it is. And if they have to exclude from their participation anybody who doesn't agree with the politically correct line, well, by golly, that's what they're going to do. And they are doing it, you know. In a number of fields, you can see this kind of thing happening. So that's why I say they become totalitarian, and that's why moral relativism is the groundwork for all of it. Because once you say there's no such thing as truth, then there is no legitimate authority. The only thing there is power.
The natural offspring of moral relativism in a social sense is multiculturalism. What does it say about one culture versus another? And why, again, is it also a fantasy?
Well, it's claiming that you can't tell the difference between one culture and another culture, that they're all the same, that it's just your perspective versus my perspective. One man's freedom fighter is another man's terrorist, that kind of idea. And people are pretending, and literally, we're literally pretending that we can't tell the difference between an Islamic terrorism and that form of culture, that's just the same. We're supposed to accept that as being just the same as people coming from Italy and bringing pasta with them. And pasta is a, you know, a wonderful kind of food. And these two ethnic differences are, you know, somehow equivalent. And if we claim there's something wrong with driving a truck bomb across London Bridge and blowing up a lot of people and hopping out and shooting people or knifing people or whatever the terrorist act du jour happens to be, well, we have no idea what caused that. Well, actually, if you would do a small amount of study, you would know exactly what caused it. It's a worldview. It's a vision of what is good. That there's a group of people who has a vision of what is good that includes killing people who don't agree with them. Well, you know, your multicultural ideology cannot accommodate that. You know, you cannot accommodate that and claim that that one thing's just as good as another. That's where we're wrapped up in knots, Todd.
This is where the epithets begin to fly, because if you do what you just did, which is question and kind of expose the lie of this relativistic and multiculturalism, you are immediately in a categorized.
That's right.
You are a bigot, jingoistic, and there are all sorts of versions of this. You could be sexist, you could be racist. It doesn't really matter what the words actually mean anymore. One substitutes for another, don't they?
That's right. That's right. And the object there is to end the conversation and to push is and to scare you, to scare the person who's speaking, whoever that may be, to scare them into ceasing. You know, you must cease and desist from bringing up this point, because we all know that everybody's just peace-loving liberal Democrats, just like we are. And if they're not, it's because we don't understand them or we're not treating them properly, and so on. You know, and this is the kind of reasoning from the cultural elites. And Todd, this is the point that I think people really need to understand, that we now have a whole ruling class of people who are committed both to the point that there's no such thing as truth and that they are the arbiters of what is really true and what is socially acceptable to say. You know, this is a mutually contradictory thing, but it's held together only with power. This is what people were objecting to when they said, we're going to take Britain out of the European Union. This is what people were objecting to when they voted for Donald Trump, you know. And it's comical, in my opinion, it's comical to see the media complaining about Donald Trump lying when they have been saying for years that there's no such thing as truth. You know, well, your guys were lying, and it was okay when your guys are lying. Well, now somebody that, I guess it didn't enter their mind that someday the position of power would be occupied by somebody who didn't share their worldview. And now he's going to do all the things that you let your guys get away with, you know. So that's why we are, I think, in this cultural moment of such extremes within our country and really within the world, that the people who are holding power have been holding on to it with nothing but power. They have lost their moral authority because they don't believe in truth. They don't believe in reason. They don't believe in evidence. Truth is whatever they say it is, you know. So how are you supposed to argue with that? Well, we as Christians, we believe that there is such a thing as truth. Truth is a person, and the universe is ordered in a reasonable, rational way by a reasonable, rational God who also loves us. And so we can appeal to that, and we can say, no, a person who is killing in the name of God, who's killing innocent people in the name of God, that is incorrect. That is not true. That is not what God wants them to do. That's a made-up God. That can't be true. A person who's saying women need to have the right to kill their babies so that the women can have good jobs, that is incorrect. That is not what God wants us to be doing. You know, and we have something to base our opinions on. It's not just an opinion. We have reason and rationality and the authority of truth behind us. And we're not afraid to say some things are true and some things are not true. And the poorest, weakest person in society, a person in jail, can still say, this is true. And you can't make me say something that is untrue. You can't make me. And that's freedom. That's real, genuine moral freedom and authority. And that's what Christianity has to offer the world today.
With only about a minute, where does the sexual revolution as a fantasy ideology fit into all of this?
Oh, well, you know, to me, it's a special case of the whole fantasy ideology concept. But, you know, we've got people who believe that they need to create a society where sex does not make babies, where men and women are absolutely identical, and any differences you see are all socially constructed, and where children don't really need their parents. And so when you're done with that, when you're done believing all of that kind of stuff, then, well, what's the role of the government? The role of the government is to remove all the inconveniences associated with sex. That's what the state's supposed to do now. And since none of those things are true, we're making ourselves miserable. We're spending tons of money to try to clean up the messes that we're making. And we're just flooded with propaganda trying to make us believe that Bruce Jenner is a woman and that children don't really need their parents. And by golly, all we need is a little more contraception and sex wouldn't really make babies anymore. You know, we could all act like sex doesn't make babies. So that's the sense in which it's a fantasy ideology, Todd. It can't be done. No matter how hard they try, they cannot make those things be true. And we as Christians have the obligation to tell the world the whole truth about human sexuality and about God's love for us.
Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morris is founder and president of the Ruth Institute. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities. She's senior research fellow in economics for the Acton Institute. She is also author of several books, including her latest, Sexual Revolution and Its Victims, and a recent column titled The Upper Class is Communist. You can read it and purchase The Sexual Revolution and Its Victims under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Jennifer, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
On the other side of the break, Joey Pullman joins us, managing editor of The Federalist. We're going to talk about something she's noticed about Samantha Bee, what she calls the Church of Feminism. Stay tuned.
Emily finally had to face the truth. Her church choir was a mess.
Katie Schuerman from her new audiobook, House of Living Stones.
Sure, they'd managed to turn out a few decent choral offerings for Sunday worship every now and then, but their confidence and morale were presently hanging lower than pants on a wrapper.
You can purchase and download an audio version of the novel House of Living Stones at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. House of Living Stones by Katie Schuerman.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation with the new Martin Luther plush figure. It features the 16th century reformer holding the Bible and Luther's morning and evening prayers. Go to reformationgear.com, use the coupon code ISSUESETC, and 20% of your purchase will help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. ReformationGear.com, the new Martin Luther plush figure, ReformationGear.com, and enter the coupon code ISSUESETC.
A confessional liturgical Lutheran congregation in southeast Michigan in Rochester Hills. The Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word. That's LCIW.org. We gather for the divine service every Sunday, 9:30 a.m. at Lutheran High School Northwest. The Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word. Find us on the internet at lciw.org.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Brooklyn, New York. Hope Lutheran, Birmingham, Alabama. Our Savior Lutheran, Paradise, California. St. John Lutheran, Ray, Michigan. Peace with Christ Lutheran, Fort Collins, Colorado. Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Kimberling City, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Salinas, California. St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin. And St. John's Lutheran, Colton, California. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org and click support. The Issues Etc. 300.